Psalm 1, as our children are dismissed for junior church. If you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand and we will see that you are fitted for the task that is before us. Psalm 1. Several weeks ago, I spoke to you about our becoming either shade trees or fruit trees. Do you remember? Shade trees or fruit trees. As the service was beginning this morning, I was asked a question. Where is everybody? Beloved people, with the exception of at the most a half a dozen, this is Mayor Community Church. The numbers we have been experiencing in the past few months have been due to large numbers of visitors. And I believe our numbers are such this morning because I believe that the Lord has a message for each of our hearts. And I believe he's going to answer in the quietness of your own heart, where are we as a church? What are we in need of? If you remember several weeks ago when we spoke about shade trees or fruit trees, we likened the seed that was spoken of in Scripture to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that seed died with the end in view of our becoming fruit trees. Fruit trees. His purpose in dying was to bear much fruit. He accomplished his work. And now, according to Scripture, he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us in order that we might become fruitful in the ministries to which he has called us. So this morning I want to expand on that message by dealing with our part in becoming fruitful. Our part in becoming fruitful. And this morning's message is entitled, To Be or not to be. Have you heard that before? We are all called to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all called to be ministers to the members of this body. We are all called to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And we could spend the rest of our time this morning enumerating in all of the areas in which we have all been called to be. We are all unique in the ministry to which we are called, yet we all have a common goal. And that common goal is to be bringing glory to God. Our common goal as individuals and our goal as a church, the collective goal, is to be bringing glory to God. How? Through fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Beloved people, God didn't create you to be a shade tree. The Christian church is full of shade tree Christians, shade tree characters. You know, if you say that often enough and fast enough, pretty soon the TR gets lost And what are you left with? Shady characters. Brother, people, if we're not fulfilling our potential according to the Word of God and according to the power of the Holy Spirit, we're giving a false impression, and the individuals that give false impressions are shady characters. If all we are doing is producing a shade tree environment, we're a shady character. It's not at all what God had intended. God's intent was not to just bring a measure of comfort to those suffering from the heat of the day. Now, shade is without a doubt a benefit of a fruit tree. But it is not to be its primary purpose. The purpose remains unchanged from Jesus' day to now. We read in Psalm verses 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He is like a tree. Underline that. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which yields its fruit in season. Condense it and it reads, he is like a tree which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. According to that scripture, the purpose of the tree that has been planted is to bear fruit. The question that should always be before us then is this: what must I do in order to be a fruit-bearing tree? What must I do? And I believe that there are two words that if you can get these seated into your conscious thinking, into your day-by-day regiment, you will come to an understanding, and you will, without a doubt, be what God intended you to be, and that is a fruit-bearing tree. The two words are these. First, cultivate. Cultivate. The second, cooperate. Now, there's no special order. In other words, it's not cultivate and then cooperate, or cooperate and then cultivate, or trying to put them in some kind of a sequence. There's no divine sequence to this. All we know is that they should not come at the expense of the other. In other words, your cultivation should not be at the expense of cooperation, nor should your cooperation be at the expense of cultivation. The order we're going to follow this morning is simply the order or the direction of our growth from underground up. You see, the Christians don't go the other way, in case you're not aware. We don't start up here and go down. We start down here and go up. And the ultimate end of up is glory. That's God's goal for fruit-bearing trees. So they start down and they move up. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at, first of all, cultivate, and then we're going to deal with cooperate. So in order to be fruitful, we must be diligent to cultivate. Diligent to cultivate. What do we mean by that? What do we do when we cultivate? Well, you stimulate the roots. You have to give that plant or that tree the opportunity to reach forth its roots into deeper soil in search of the nourishment that it needs. So you have to stimulate. That means watering. That means fertilizer. That means nourishment to the root system. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, he said, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now you're going to notice something with some of the scriptures that we use this morning, is that the figurative language that they use is different from our concept of the tree growing. But the truth is still the same. It is a growth-oriented principle. And that's what Peter's talking about. He says, as newborn babes, crave the sincere milk of the word in order that you may grow up in your salvation. Then Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as fleshly or worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Now, at first glance, there seems to be a discrepancy between what Peter is saying and what Paul is saying. Beloved people, there's no discrepancy. It's the same scriptural principle of growth. But what we like to do is we like to compartmentalize things. And we like to say, oh, milk is for babies. Anybody that drinks or desires milk is a baby. Meat is for adults. You don't give meat to newborn babies. And some adults don't believe that it is adult to drink milk. So what we do is we take this concept into the scripture and we say, what Peter is talking about is babies. And what Paul is talking about is babies, because babies drink milk. And that's as far as we take it. But that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about growth. They're talking about maturity. And what Paul is saying is, he said, I can only give you milk. What Peter says is, don't ever lose your craving for milk, because milk is essential to the strength and nourishment of your Christian walk. So what we are looking at here is that what Peter is saying is, don't sacrifice milk in order to eat meat. But how many Christians do? They think they've gotten beyond the simplicity things of the gospel. Not so, beloved people. We never outgrow the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ on our life. We never outgrow the simplicity of the gospel message. In fact, the Apostle Paul said at one point, he said, I am amazed that you are so soon removed from the simplicity that's in Jesus. It's not a complicated thing. God never meant for it to be a complicated thing. He meant for it to be the joy and the source of our lives. That's the milk. That's the refreshment. That's nourishment. But there's also meat here. And the thing that happens with maturity is, as you mature, your appetite changes. It expands. So you add some other things to it. And you find all the things that you need for your spiritual appetite are in the Word of God. Whether it's spiritual milk or spiritual meat, it's here. So in other words, what we're saying here this morning, it is not just a diet of milk, but other nutrients are needed, and both are found in the Word. We don't drop milk in favor of meat. We add meat to our steady diet. He said to the Christians at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted Is that speaking to what we're talking about here this morning? Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Here's what he's saying. When you pay attention to stimulating of the root system, the fruit that is produced will bring glory to God. How do you stimulate the root system? By the milk and the meat of the Word. That's the nourishment that your spiritual roots need in order to be built up, in order to be strengthened in the faith. In other words, you've got to listen to what God has to say. You've got to wait on God in prayer. You've got to look for the voice of God in the Word of God and how it applies to your situation. Because what is faith? It's hearing a word from God and heeding the will of God. Not with the head, but from the heart. Our responsibility in cultivation is not only to pay attention to our roots, to bring stimulation to our roots, but to also eliminate the weeds. Elimination. First there's stimulation of the roots, and then there's elimination of the weeds. Now it's no secret. If you don't know it, you will know it. I hate weeds. And I hate pulling weeds. And while I'm trying to determine what I hate more, guess what's happening? The weeds are taking over. Why? Because I'm doing nothing. Beloved people, from experience, inactivity where weeds are concerned profits nothing. Inactivity profits nothing. If you are not doing something positive to stimulate the root growth and eliminate the weeds are going to be taking over in your life. And we're talking on a spiritual plane now. What are the weeds? Attitudes, sins, things that we let slide. So in order to promote fruitfulness, we must be conscientious in our weeding. It's not something that you do once and, man, I'll never have to do that again. Every day, every week. Your tree requires cultivation. Beloved people, weeds are a sign of neglect. Do nothing, and they grow. Now I need you to pay special attention. It doesn't matter how old you are. And when I was about this age, some of the people in this congregation would have been considered old. Okay? Now that I'm this age, I'm thinking, maybe not. But it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how long you have walked with the Lord. It does not matter how deep your spiritual experience was yesterday. If you're not involved today in dealing with the weeds, in cultivation, in stimulation, in elimination, you've got a problem with fruit bearing. It's something that we are to be involved in day after day. So today, if steps are not taken, weeds will begin to take over. It's part of the curse. It's part of the curse on the ground. It's part of the curse on humanity. The writer to Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now here very graphically, the writer of Hebrews is using a foot race as his figure of speech. But the idea is the same as our figure of growth. Sin entangles us. Whether seen as an added, unneeded weight, or as weeds, if we neglect this vital area of our lives, we hinder our fruitfulness. We hinder our fruitfulness. In order to be fruitful, we must not only be diligent to cultivate, but we must also be diligent to cooperate. What do I mean? We're moving up our tree here. First, we were at the root system, underground. And then we moved to the soil itself, and we cultivated that soil, and we eliminated the weeds. And as we move up, there is another job that needs to be done. And that's pruning. But we need to understand something. This is not something we do. It's something God does to us. But he does not do it to us without our involvement. That's what I mean by cooperate. You cooperate with God in the pruning that he brings into your life. Because what he's trying to do is clear off the dead wood, the things that are no longer productive, the things that never were productive. He's trying to trim it out in order to give more of the vitality and the energy of his spirit to producing a fruit-bearing tree. So we need to be diligent to cooperate with the Lord Jesus Christ in the pruning. It is our work to submit to the pruning by cooperating with the husbandman. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, in order that it will be even more fruitful. You see, God's goal for you is more fruit. If you've got zero fruit, that's understandable. If you've been a fruit-producing tree for a number of years, his desire for you is still more fruit. He does not want you to go backwards. He wants you to continue producing more fully. Not only do we need to be diligent to cooperate in the pruning, but we need to be diligent to cooperate by waiting. Waiting. Again, in a different illustration, Scripture uses, comes up with the same truth. It says this, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So a song was made out of that. And part of the song, the ending part of the song, is a prayer. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees, where in your own good time you will answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. And then it goes through it again. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord will be strengthened. For what purpose? To produce fruit. Strengthened for the purpose of fruitfulness. Not every season is a fruit-bearing season. But every season is a season for growth. Scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will what? Reap a harvest if we do not give up. God's goal for you, God's goal for me, God's goal for Mayor Community Church has not changed just because our numbers have dwindled. If anything, it's becoming more clear. And His goal is for this tree to be fruitful. Beloved people, we have not been. We have not been. Many of us have failed in that as individuals because we've been wrestling with the question, to be or not to be. That is the question. In conclusion, we will have opportunity today and in all of our tomorrows to be fruitful trees. It will not happen by accident, neither will it happen by lack of activity. Our fruitfulness will be determined by how diligent we are in cultivation, by the stimulation of our roots and elimination of our weeds. And our fruitfulness will be determined by how diligent we are in our cooperation with the Father in His pruning and in waiting. To be or not to be for the Christian should never be the question. Never. Because that question was settled when we came to the cross the first time and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to come into our hearts and change us, and to make us into fruit-bearing trees. But the question remains, what are you? A shade tree or a fruit tree? In closing this morning, if you would take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 487. Only Trust Him. And I want to just say a few things about this hymn as you're standing to your feet and turning to the particular place in the hymnal. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. If you have allowed the area of your fruit tree to be overwhelmed with weeds, do you know what you need to do? Repent. If your fruit tree has never produced fruit, do you know what you need to do? Repent. If you've never been planted by the rivers of water as a fruit tree, do you know what you need to do? Repent. It's the same answer for every situation that there is no production of fruit, no bearing of fruit. That is repentance at the cross. So as we stand and sing, if you feel a need, a desire to make public your renewed commitment to be what God intended for you to be, you come and do that as we sing together, Only Trust Him.